Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be looking at the response of God to the grumblings of the children of Israel, as Pastor Chuck Smith picks up today's lesson in Exodus, chapter 16, verse 1.
God has delivered the children of Israel from their bondage in Egypt, having watched the Pharaoh and his armies drown in the Red Sea. Chapter 15, they sing the glorious song of God's deliverance, God's power, God's destruction of their enemies. But how quickly we forget the work in the hand of God. They come to the water at Marah, they find it bitter, they complain against Moses, and the Lord shows Moses a bush that he throws into the water, it becomes sweet. They journey from Marah to Elim, an oasis, where there are 12 wells of water and several palm trees. And in chapter 16 now, they move on from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and the Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. So they've been 1 month now out of Egypt. And listen to them as they said to Moses and Aaron, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with starvation." Now, they begin to complain to Moses and to Aaron, saying it would have been better off had we died when God killed the firstborn in Egypt. At least theirs was a sudden death, the stroke of God, and one night they were gone. But instead, you've brought us out here to starve us to death, the slow, painful death by starvation. Now, it was not possible that they were starving yet, but they had now begun to experience a little bit of the barrenness of the desert. They could probably foresee that there wasn't enough grazing for the cattle, and they could foresee that it could get pretty tough living out here. It would have been better to have died suddenly in Egypt rather than to die by starvation here in the wilderness. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." Now, it is interesting to me that God does not indicate at all any anger or even being upset with the people murmuring. The Bible tells us concerning the people at this point that God knew their frame, that they were but dust. And so God tolerated a lot, knowing that they were just weak. And God promises that he's going to provide for them bread from heaven. However, in so doing, he was going to test them to see if they would walk in his law or not. And so with this bread from heaven, the manna that was to come, there were two laws involved. The first is that they were not to try to store any overnight. Only take what you can eat, but don't try to store it overnight. The second was, don't expect to find any on the seventh day. On the sixth day, you will gather enough for the sixth and the seventh day, and there won't be any of this manna on the ground on the seventh day, so don't go out to find it on the seventh day. So two laws. God's going to test them. Will they keep my law or not? It shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your murmurings against the Lord. But what are we that you should murmur against us? So they let the people know that your murmuring really isn't against us as your leaders. Your murmuring is against God, whose direction we are following. Now, in time, their murmuring got them into trouble. In the beginning, God tolerated the murmuring. But in time, it really became an issue for which they were punished by God. Interesting to note that the murmuring was recognized to be against God. And any time we murmur concerning our lot in life, we are, in essence, murmuring against God because we have committed our lives to God, and he is in control of those circumstances of our lives. And so for me to murmur against my circumstances is to murmur against God. He's the one who has created the circumstances. He is the one who has brought me to this place. He is the one who has brought me into this trial, perhaps. And though I may direct my murmuring at an individual, in reality it is God who is in control. The Lord one day said to Jeremiah the prophet, I want you to go down to the potter's house and watch him as he works a work on his wheel. So Jeremiah said, I went down to the potter's house and I watched him as he was working with his wheel, and he took this bit of clay and he began to shape the clay. And then he wasn't satisfied with the way it was coming out, and he took it and he just destroyed the shape. Took it back in just a lump of clay again, and he started all over and he formed a second vessel. And the Lord spoke to Jeremiah from this figure of the potter. And God declared that in this case, the nation of Israel was like the clay and God was the potter, and God was able to shape it as he desired. And even though they didn't fit his first intention, he's able to remake them. He's able to make of them a vessel that would please him. Isaiah the prophet also saw the figure of God as the potter and man as the clay. And who are you, O man, to respond to God? Asking him, why, God, did you allow this to happen? Why, God, did you make me thus? Recognizing that the potter has absolute power over the clay to do with it whatever he wishes. But as Jeremiah was in the potter's house, we see there are three aspects to it. There is the clay, there is the wheel upon which the potter works, and then there is the potter himself. Man is the clay, God is the potter. The wheel are the circumstances of our lives that God uses to shape us and to mold us. Our characters are being shaped by God, molded by God, through the circumstances of our lives. God allows trials. God allows testings. God allows painful experiences, that through these he might develop character, trust. And so my life is being developed by the circumstances in which I find myself. And unfortunately, many times I resist the circumstances. I don't like it. I stiffen up. And the moment I stiffen up, as with Jeremiah, the vessel becomes marred in the hands of the potter. God wasn't able to shape me as he desired. I'd stiffened against the work of God, hardened myself to the work of God. So God has to start over. And I wonder how many times he's had to start over with me, back to zero, back to the blob. Here I start all over again. The wheel starts turning. The circumstances start coming. And God begins now to mold and shape again. But the wheel is the instrument through which the potter does his work, shapes and molds the clay. And so the circumstances of our lives by which we are shaped and molded. Now, I notice that the wheel is under the continual control of the potter. He is able to speed it up. He's able to slow it down. He's able to stop it. The wheel's under his control. So that God is in control of the circumstances of my life. God is the one who has allowed these things to happen to me. Now, according to the scripture, as I understand it, God has allowed them to happen for my good. God is only interested in my best welfare. Thus, for me to complain of the circumstances of my life or to murmur about the things that are happening to me is in reality to murmur against God. They came to Moses and Aaron murmuring about being led out here in the wilderness to die of starvation. We've been better off to die in Egypt. And God comes back and says, they're going to see my glory. I'm going to test them to see if they'll obey my law or not. And he says, tomorrow morning you'll see the power of God, the glory of God. But you've murmured not really against us, you've murmured against the Lord. And Moses said, verse 8, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning bread till you're full. For the Lord hears your murmurings which you make against him. That's sort of heavy, that God actually hears every time you murmur against him. And again, who are we? Why are you murmuring to us? We're only the instruments of God. We're only God's appointed leaders. You're really murmuring against him, not against us. Then Moses spoke to Aaron. He said, say to the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. And now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation, the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there was on the surface of the wilderness a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. So they complained. They said, oh, we were only back by the flesh pots in Egypt. There we had all the bread we could eat. You know, you've brought us out here to starve us to death. So The Lord said, I'll show you that I can feed you in the wilderness. And in the evening, he brought quail into the camp. Now, this is a phenomenon that often takes place in the springtime as the quail are migrating northward from Africa. As they fly across the Red Sea after flying that distance nonstop, often as they get to the northern side, they fall by exhaustion on the ground. And so it was that the quail fell in the camp of the Israelites. Just the ground was covered with these quail as they migrated northward. That happens even to the present day. Doesn't take away from the miraculous aspect that God told Moses he's going to do it this evening. Then the next day, on the ground, sort of like coriander seed, when the dew lifted, there was this little round seed-like that they gathered. Now, there was an interesting thing. They were to gather each of them an omer per person. And there is a divergence of opinion of what constitutes an omer or how much an omer is. And the estimates of an omer by the scholars is anything from a pint and a half to 7 pints. Now, it would appear from the text in the Hebrew, and this is the interesting thing, that when they gathered it and brought it into the tent to measure it, if they gathered more than an omer, all they could measure out was just an omer. And if they gathered less, they poured it into measure it and it turned out to be an omer. So if they would lack, it was made up. And if they would gather more, it was taken away. So that when they measured it, it would always measure out to be an omer. And then on the sixth day, when they would measure it, no matter what they had gathered, it measured 2 omers. Gathered the same amount, but you go to measure it and you've got twice. So it would seem that there was a miracle involved even in the amount gathered, that it was something that God was creating for them. Now when they saw it, they didn't know what it was. They said, what is this? And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded, that every man gather according to each one's need, 1 omer per each person. According to the number of persons in your family, let every man take for those who are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. Some gathered more than others, some less than others. But when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing over. He who gathered little had no lack. It was God leveled it off. Every man had gathered according to each one's need, and Moses said, let no one leave any of it until the morning. Now, this was one of the commands. See if they follow it or not. Don't leave any of it over till tomorrow. Don't try and save it until tomorrow. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. The interesting thing is that on the sixth day, they could keep it overnight, and it kept God's provision. Why would God make it so that they would have to gather every day? Because God wanted to teach them to live by faith in Him day by day. And faith is a daily lesson. Even as Jesus in the prayer said, give us this day our daily bread. So they gathered for each day. And tomorrow we're going to have to trust God to put it on the ground for our needs tomorrow. That God takes care of us day by day. Now, this is the way God wants us really to live, day by day, trusting in Him to take care of us. We don't like to live that way, do we? We like to have a little security here. We don't like living daily by faith. It's something that we find objectionable. As I have often said, the life of faith is something we really don't care for. It's so much better when I finally understand. When I finally see what God was doing, then I say, oh, isn't that wonderful? I see now what God was doing. All right, that's great. But when I can't see what God is doing, when I don't understand what's going on, I don't like that. I don't like to be in that position where you just have to wait on God day by day. But that's exactly what God wants. And so, not going to let it stay overnight. But they failed. Some of them failed in the first. God says, I'm going to test you, see if you're going to keep my law or not. Some of them failed.
We'll return with more of our fascinating study of Exodus in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck Smith continues to lead us verse by verse through the entire Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD, and phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Exodus. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May God now take the word and hide it in our hearts. And may it come back in our time of need to guide and to direct us in our walk and in our relationship with God. That place of first love, the first bloom of love in that relationship with God. And may you experience again the presence and the power of God working in your life. In Jesus' name.
As your pastor, it's my responsibility to witness the truth of Jesus Christ to you. So as we're about to talk about this year's prophecy update, it's necessary to be faithful in giving these warnings to declare what God has said so that you may be alert to the things that are about to happen.
Listen and watch Pastor Chuck's Prophecy Alert for 2012 with special guest Pastor Steve Apple of Calvary Chapel Tel Aviv and Aria Eldad from the Israeli Defense Force.
You know, we've been saying last times, last days for a long time, obviously. But that event in 1948 changed everything.
To order Prophecy Alert 2012, please contact The Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
Be alert. We are in a constant battle facing an enemy. Live in that sense of urgency, for these are desperate days.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.